The good news for today is found in the Gospel of Luke in the 9th chapter, beginning at the 28th verse. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met them. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of our Lord. When you have a new colleague, he can push you to try some new things. So I'm going to try this morning, okay? This story, this transfiguration story, what do we make of it? It's a little crazy, isn't it? This glowing face and this change of appearance. Every year we come to this Sunday and we hear this story. There's three different versions of it in the Bible, in the different Gospels. But every year, I'm a little confused myself as to what to make of it. One commentator I read said, in the tradition of Latin American literature, maybe we can say it's magical realism. Where they're used to ghosts appearing and all kinds of spiritual things. But I don't know, I think there's always this mystery of God that we live with, and so I'm not going to try to explain what happened, except that I think it's interesting Peter's response to this. Peter wanting to build these three dwellings right there. I think Peter is realizing the mystery of this experience, the amazingness of it, of seeing God face to face in full glory. I think this is one of Peter's best days ever. And so he wants to hang on to it, right? If we can put ourselves for Peter, John, and James to be there, first of all, just three of them, not all 12, so three. They get to go on a special retreat with Jesus to the mountains. They're part of the inner circle. That would be special enough, wouldn't it? And then they have this amazing experience of transfiguration, of seeing Jesus changed, of seeing Moses and Elijah. I think it's Peter's best day ever. In our staff meeting this week, I asked staff, as I was leading the Bible study this week, I said, well, what's your best day ever? Can you think of one day? So I'm going to ask you that. What is your best day ever? Are you thinking about it? Is it hard to choose just one? That was the response in our staff. Well, you know, someone said, well, I want to say the birth of my children, but that's more than one. And I said, ha-ha, I can say that, and I only have one as the mother of twins. For others, then it was like, well, my children, but my wedding day, too, that was one of the best days of my life. How many of you went there, huh? I think about my wedding day, and right before our ceremony, my father-in-law or father-in-law-to-be came up to me, and he said, Naomi, and he was so happy, just smiling and beaming, and he said, you know, I want you to know I don't think I've ever seen Todd as happy as I've seen him today in his whole life. Thank you for loving my son. That was pretty amazing, special words. I hold on to those now that my father-in-law is gone, but that's a good memory. I have never seen Todd as happy as I have seen him today. Those are those best days ever, right? When we have those moments of happiness and joy, and sometimes it's not weddings. Sometimes it's just a beautiful day out in the sun in God's creation, right? And we're spending time with family or friends. Best day ever. Well, my husband might have been the happiest his father had ever seen him on that day, but I've seen him not so happy too, right? He's sitting right here. He's like, what? He's seen me not so happy too, right? But that's the thing with best days ever, isn't it? They end. We can't hold on to them. Peter's trying to hold on to them by building these dwellings, and it's maybe, we don't know for sure, but it could be because it was part of this special Feast of the Tabernacles where they would build these dwellings on the mountain to stay there for about a week. It was a Thanksgiving type of celebration, and so Peter's wanting to keep the party going. He's thankful, he's joyous, there's going to be food and celebrating. Those best days ever, we want to hold on to them. And they sustain us in life when we think about those memories, don't they? But the reality is, we come down from the mountain. Those best days don't seem to last, do they? And just as Peter and James and John and Jesus come down to the mountain and they're met with these needy crowds, and they're met with a sick, demon-possessed child, and they're met with a worried parent, those best days ever move on, and then we are done with the wedding, and we are in the marriage and the hard work of day-to-day. Or that spectacular day of having your children born, if you have experienced that. And then, as I say, they become teenagers. We can all think of those kinds of things, and we're back in the middle of it. And we wish that we would have that special, close experience with God. We wish that we could see God acting in really amazing, great, glorious ways. And we're just in the muck of it. But we forget. We forget that there in the muck is really where God's glory is mostly and best revealed. The last verse of our gospel reading for today says, "And all were astounded at the greatness of God." God's greatness shows up in our most brokenness. God's glory isn't about being removed on some mountain and having just this ongoing party and nothing bad ever happening. God's glory gets revealed in the cross, in brokenness, in pain, and in suffering. And that's where we can see God most clearly revealed for us is right there with us in the muck. Best day ever is when God shows up, right? I said to the family, to our little baby that was baptized last night, that she didn't know it yet, but last night was one of her best days ever, being claimed by God, and nothing would ever take that away from her. You want to have the best day ever? Remember that you are a child of God, that no matter what, God is going with you, and then we can help others as we reflect this glory of God as we go out and serve and love. Just as those disciples did, and even if they couldn't get it right, even if they weren't able to cast out the demon, Jesus was there, working with them, again, revealing his greatness. So, hashtag best day ever. It's every day, because God is with us. God is using us to serve and to love one another. God is pouring his forgiveness and glory right over us right now. Thanks be to God. Amen.